Good morning, everyone. My name's Andy, if I haven't met you. We're going to read the Bible now, so if you have a Bible with you, it would be great to open that up. There are Bibles that we can hand out to anyone who would like one. Would anyone like a Bible? Mel can walk around and pass a Bible to you. Great, yep, got one coming to you. You're welcome to use your devices for your Bible app or whatever other means you read the Bible with. And we have two readings, Psalm 75 from the Old Testament and then Galatians 6. Psalm 75. For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, a psalm of Asaph, a song. We praise you, God. We praise you, for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. You say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with equity. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. To the arrogant, I say, boast no more. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift your horns against heaven. Do not speak so defiantly. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob, who says, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. We turn now to Galatians 6 in the New Testament. We're up to the last chapter in Galatians and the last in the series that David will be preaching to us from. Galatians 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand? Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen.
Thanks, Andy. Keep your Bible open there, and remember, it's always helpful to bring your Bibles and to send the message to each other that we're people of the book, and we do have spare ones if you need it, but keep bringing those in, and I'll pray for us as we look at this final in our series in Galatians. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would work on our hearts and minds this morning as we come and sit under your word, that you would speak to us and comfort us and challenge us and heal us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to invite you to come up to the microphone right now and just say, you've got a few minutes just to speak, what would you say? What would you share with us? I'm sure there might be people here who share some of the hurts that are going on in their hearts right now. You might want to tell people about the pain that you have. You might want to tell people about the comfort that you've received. But for many of us, I think if we were honest, we'd want people to know things about ourselves, wouldn't we? We want people to know about things that we've done, things that make us beam with pride. It's what we kind of, the kind of things that we slip into the conversations, don't we, when we're having a chat to people. And, you know, we slip in things because deep down, all of us want to impress people. Little kids are so much better at it than us, aren't they? Little kids are good at saying things like, I'm a good drawer. I've had scripture kids that have said to, I've invited them to come and read, and they've said, I'm the best reader in the class. Right, little kids are not subtle about it at all. We're more subtle about it. You know, we slip things into the conversation, don't we? About things that we've done, things that are important to us. Inside all of us is a little me monster that's bursting to get out, that wants to impress people around us. What is it that you wished people knew about you? What is it you want everyone in the room to know about you this morning? Boasting and pride are at the heart of our passage that we're looking at this morning in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to see three things this morning about pride. We're going to see, first of all, the problem of pride. That's the first thing. Then we're going to see how the Spirit changes our relational pride. That's the second thing. And then we're going to see how the cross changes our spiritual pride. The problem of pride, how the Spirit changes our relational pride, and how the cross changes our spiritual pride. So first, let's look at the problem of pride. Let's examine our own hearts. Let's go back to chapter 5, verse 26. Look at chapter 5, verse 26 of Galatians, where Paul says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Let's examine our hearts. Let's not become conceited, Paul says. Literally, this word means empty of glory. Empty of glory. It's the person who has the illusion of being glorious, of being shiny, of being great, but it's all empty, right? And all of us are like this. All of us in this room are desperate for recognition. All of us want to prove ourselves and look good to other people. This comes out in the way we relate, and it comes out spiritually as well. When I think that I'm great because of who I am, what I've done, how good looking I am, my achievements, those are the things I want people to know about me. But do you realize whenever I show off, do you know who I need? Who do I need to show off? You know who I need? I need you. I need you to notice That's what it takes to show off. In other words, whenever we show off, we're using people. We're using people because we're using people so that we feel great about ourselves. You're there to make me feel good, and you're there for me to feel good. Our verse says, provoking and envying each other. Why do we provoke? It's because I have a superiority complex, and I want you to see how great I am. And so I provoke you. Look at me! It provokes you. Or envying because I have an inferiority complex. And I'm jealous of you and I want what you have. And so I become jealous. Look, let me illustrate this in my own life. I remember once I was on holidays. I was staying at a mate's place in Cairns. I was swimming in a swimming pool and it was in a resort. He lived in a resort, it's another story. But there were people in this pool that I met, and they had studied at theological college, the same college that I studied at. And we got to talking, and this person was talking about a friend of hers who was involved in a church in the western suburbs for a heavy metal subculture. And I realized that they were talking about a church, the very same church that I had helped start. And I was listening, and I slipped into the conversation, oh yeah, I helped start that church. Yeah. I was there at the beginning. And I came away later, and I thought to myself, why did I do that? Why did I feel the need to slip into the conversation that I helped to start that church? You know what I was doing? I was boasting. I was wanting the glory. And I came away later and I thought, oh, Mistel, you're just a glory boy. You just want people to know how great you are. And I thought, how ridiculous. Now here's my point. What is it that you want to slip into the conversation? And now I've told you all about it, right? So now you all know. You see how subtle it can be? You can even use sermons to make yourself look good. But see, what is it you want to slip into the conversation? What is it you just interject and you want people to know about you? What is it, where do you go so that people approve of you? See, you see how it is? See, Paul now turns to the way that we treat other people. He wants to see how very practical this is. What the Spirit does is he wants to change our relational pride. The way we treat other people has everything to do with how we see ourselves, okay, and how you think of yourself. So let's go to the second point, how the Spirit changes our relational pride. Now, in this context, of course, Paul has been sharing about the way of the Spirit. And the way of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And another aspect of the fruit is humility. That, or gentleness is the word, but it's really the word humility, right? How does the person who is walking in the Spirit, how do they live? How do they love others? Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. How do you live by the Spirit? This is the way of humility. This is what it looks like. The issue here is, how do you treat someone who is trapped in some kind of sin? You know, they could be trapped in a sin which is an addiction. It could be that they're just, you know, they're prone to lying. It could be that they can't hold down a job. They don't have the discipline to do that. It could be that they, you know, they blow up and they lose their stack all the time. They're trapped in some kind of sin, and it's so hard for them to get out of. And if you're a person who is walking by the Spirit, how do you treat them? How do you approach that person? You know what? It has everything to do, actually, with how you see yourself. That's the issue. Because if you're a proud and conceited person, you know what you'll do when you see someone in a sin? You'll just point the finger at them and you'll judge them and you'll distance yourself and you'll think to yourself, I'd never do that. That's what you'll do, all right? But if you're someone who's walking by the Spirit, if you're someone who is humble, and if you follow the way of love, here's what you'll do. You will get involved. You will restore that person. You will help them out of the trap that they're in. It could be that you pray with them. It could be that you say something to them gently. It could be that you offer practical help to help them out of the mess that they're in. Do you notice here how Paul isn't really concerned about the particular sin? He's more concerned about how we respond to the sin of others. In verse 2, he describes it as carrying each other's burdens. Carrying each other's burdens. It's as though someone is struggling carrying 20 kilograms and you come along and you help them carry that 20 kilograms so that between the two of you, you're carrying 10 kilograms each. In other words, you can never help someone without carrying a load. It's a load to help someone. And often we only want to help people when it makes us feel good or look good. But it actually takes sacrifice. And see, how you treat others, how you get involved, has everything to do with how you see yourself. Are you hearing that? That's what the next few verses are about. Verse 3, look at this. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you look in the mirror and you think, oh, I see someone who's great. Oh, what a great person I am. I like what I see. But you know what a Christian sees when they look in the mirror? When a Christian looks in the mirror, they look back. Someone is looking back at them and they say, I see someone who's saved by grace. I see a sinner. And I see a sinner who but stands by the grace of God. And I see that every gift that I have, I don't deserve it. Everything, every talent that I have, it's a gift that God's given me to be used for his service, and I don't deserve a single thing of it. That's what a sinner sees, a Christian sees when they look into the mirror. You know, so much of my pride comes when I compare myself to others. But look at verse 4. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. See, Paul says, look to your own actions. I shouldn't compare myself to you, and you shouldn't compare yourself to me. And listen to this. This really helped me when I understood this. Verse 5, because each one should carry their own load. I used to think that this verse was commanding us to carry our own load. That's not what the verse is saying. It's not saying that at all. Literally, it says, for each will carry his own load. Each will carry his own load. It's future tense. In other words, Paul isn't commanding us to carry our own load. He's telling us, this is how it is. You will carry your own load, whether you like it or not. What he's saying is, all of us have a different load to bear. All of us have a burden in life to carry. Look, if you grew up in a family which was happy and stable and you said, you know, grace before dinner time, every meal, and if you grew up as someone who was emotionally healthy and for you life is fun and you've turned out to be a happy and stable person, and yet you know somebody who is unhappy and messed up and unstable, how do you know what kind of upbringing they've had? They could have been in a family which was hugely unstable. There are families that have lots of violence and abuse and instability. And who am I to compare myself to someone else when I don't know the burden in life that they've had? I don't know the loads that they've had to carry. See, Paul's saying we all have to carry our own load. Don't compare yourself to other people. You don't know what kind of life someone else has had. You don't know what life has dished out for that person. Who are you to compare yourself to other people when your life is completely different to that person? You know, one of my sins is I used to, when I was a single guy, I used to look down on parents who couldn't get to things on time. And I used to think, oh man, can't they just get it together? Just put the kids in the car and get here on time and just, you know, can't. And now I've got my own kid. And I understand what it's like. And I know what life's like. And look, I even live next door to the church. I don't have to get in the car. And who am I to compare and look down and judge other people when my life is totally different to your life? Do you see what Paul's saying here? See, the way of love, friends, doesn't compare. The way of love doesn't look down on people. The way of love helps people who are stuck in sin. The way of love, verse 6, supports people who teach the word, which, by the way, this church does a very, very good job of. Thank you. And what the Spirit wants to do is the Spirit wants to change our relational pride so that we serve. Here's a warning, verse 7. Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the Spirit, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. It's an agricultural picture, isn't it? The picture is the kind of harvest that pops out always matches the seed that gets planted. You know, you don't plant banana seeds and get corn. Right? You don't plant oranges and get lemons, okay? Whatever you plant is whatever you get. The person who lives for the applause of others, who is constantly comparing themselves to others, they might fool the world, but they're living for the flesh. And God isn't fooled. You reap what you sow. That's the warning. But there's an encouragement, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. See the encouragement? The encouragement is, do not give up. Keep going, because the harvest of eternal life is coming, so keep doing good. Not to earn eternal life, but because you already have it, because it's coming, so keep going. And so verse 10, Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Do you see the priority here? Let us do good to all, but especially, above all, to those who belong to the family of believers. See, Christians are to look after the poor. Christians are to look after the hurting. Christians are to look after the downtrodden. But do you know the hurt and the downtrodden that we look after first? It's the people in our fellowship. They've got to be our top priority, friends. Those are the people we look after first. See, Paul is calling for living by the Spirit, where we stop being proud and we put others first. But how do we get there? We need to deal with a deeper problem that we have. It's not just relational pride that we have. There's an even deeper issue at stake here, and it's our spiritual pride. And that's how Paul ends this letter. That's the real issue. And it's at this point in the letter where Paul does something that he does in no other letter. What he does is Paul would usually have someone write his letters for him. And at this point in the letter, he takes the stylus off the scribe and he writes in his own handwriting. Verse 11, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand." Why is he doing that? He wants to make the impression that what he says next is so, so important. He says it in his own writing. And it's important for us to hear, because what we're about to hear will define us as a church. What we're about to hear will define you as a person. So let's listen. It's about, he starts off about leaders who show off, verse 12. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Verse 13, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. It's about leaders who show off. There are false teachers who were saying to Christians, remember the issue in Galatia? That if you want to be saved, you've got to be circumcised. And it was all about showing off for these false teachers. They were just doing it to look good. They wanted to notch up converts on their belt. And they wanted to perhaps go back to head office and say, oh, we had, 50 circumcisions in Galatia. Aren't we wonderful? Right? It was all about boasting. But Paul says, the cross changes how you boast. Verse 14, may I never boast. Actually, in the Greek, the sense is, may it never happen that I boast. May it never happen that I boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Far be it from me to boast. May I never boast. May I never boast in the size of my church, in the size of my family, in the size of my bank account, in the size of my achievements, in the size of my ministry. May I never boast about any of it. The only thing that's worth boasting about is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting. Whenever Paul talks about the cross in his letters, he always talks about boasting. You notice that? Check it out sometime. But all through this letter, he's been talking about the cross. Chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Chapter 2, verse 20. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It's all about the cross, the cross, the cross. See, Paul, all through this letter, he's been saying the death of Jesus means everything to me. I have nothing to boast about. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the status, the reputation, the talents, the actions. It's nothing because none of it can save me. None of it has died for me. None of it has rescued me. It's only Jesus. He has done those things. He's died to save me. The cross, the cross, the cross. In fact, for Paul, there's three crosses. Did you see? May I never boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's cross one, the cross Jesus died on. But there's cross two, through which the world has been crucified to me. And cross three, and I have been crucified to the world. See, the world's been crucified to him, and he's been crucified to the world. There's three crosses here. And what he means is this. He means that ever since I fell in love with Jesus, the world is dead to me. It's as though the world has been killed. And I'm dead as well. I'm dead to the world. And it's all about Jesus. Friends, what do you boast in? You know, one of the reasons we either loved or hated Donald Trump was because he was so shameless about boasting, wasn't he? He could boast like no other. And one of his most famous sayings is, in fact, there's a YouTube clip somewhere about where all these are put together. One of his most famous sayings was, no one knows da-da-da-da-da better than me. Heard him say that? No one knows the economy better than me. No one knows taxes better than me. No one knows budgeting better than me. No one knows North Korea better than me. No one knows the coronavirus better than me, all right? He was so shameless about it. And that's why he was either hugely popular or so unpopular, one of the reasons. But do you realize there's a little bit of Donald Trump inside all of us? We all boast in something. We all have something that we like to slip into the conversation. We can't help it. We're wired for it. We all have confidence in something that we think will give us a happy tomorrow. It could be our intellect. It could be our skills. It could be our kids. It could be our grandkids. It could be our job. It could be our former job. It could be our family tree. It could be a special talent that you have, where we like to think, there's nobody like me. There's nobody as great as me. We boast in whatever we think will give us a happy tomorrow. And you know, I can tell what you're confident in, and you can tell what I'm confident in by what we talk about. I can't look into your soul to see what you're confident in, but I can hear what you talk about, and I can tell what you're confident in, and you can tell what I'm confident in. I remember when I first started at my previous church, there was a guy who wanted to meet with me, and he wanted to have coffee with me, and I went and had coffee with him, and I'm not kidding, we sat down for 2 hours, and he spent the whole time telling me how smart he was and how much in demand he was as a public speaker. He showed me what he was boasting in, where his confidence lay. Now, what does your conversation say about what you boast in? May I never boast in except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, the cross. Because not a single one of your actions, not a single thing about your reputation or your status can get you to glory. Not a single thing. The cross means it's all been done for you. The cross means that all that you are and all that you have and all that you dearly hang on to, you've got to put it away. Because it's worthless compared to the cross. You've been crucified to the world, and the world's been crucified to you. It's totally worthless to you. It won't achieve a single thing when it comes to your eternal salvation. The cross is the only thing that saves. You need nothing else. Again, what is it you want people to know about you? Is it the relationships you're in? Is it how hard you work? Is it the company that you keep? Look, none of it matters, because you are a new creation. That's how you know you're a new creation. It's because you're someone who's boasting in the cross. What is it that you would say it doesn't matter anymore? Since you've come to Christ, what is it that you would say, I've turned my back on that now, it doesn't matter? How has the death of Jesus removed something from you so that you can say, it doesn't matter to me like it did once before? Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, Paul wants us to know this. That's why he takes the pen and he writes in his own handwriting. He wants us to know and to get it into our heads that there's nothing else that's worth boasting in except the cross. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Christ. Oh, the false teachers were boasting in their marks, weren't they? They had their own marks that they were boasting about. But Paul's got his own marks. He has the marks of Christ. And that's his boast. See, he's living out being a new creation. Now, friends, we've come to the end of Galatians. How do you find yourself reacting to this letter? Did you see the passion of Paul about the truth of the gospel? Did you hear the charge to stand up for the truth? Did you hear the call to be free because Christ has done it all for you and you don't need to worry about any burdens that God has put on you? You know what we're left to be? We're left to be humbled by the cross. What do you want people to know about you? Paul wants them to know this about himself. May I never boast except in the cross of Christ. Let's finish with these words, verse 18, the end of the chapter. Verse 18. Let's say these words together, actually. Have you got those words there? Don't worry about what version you've got. Let's just say them together. Okay, ready? Together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen.